Hello and welcome back to my FPL channel. I'm FPL Dean and today you're here for your Game Week 35 preview, my early thoughts, my transfer plans. I didn't play my free hit in Game Week 34. I am on a red arrow, but that doesn't worry me because of the fact I have my free hit, my triple captain still to play in the last four game weeks. Yes, I've taken a hit this week. It might, I don't know how bad it's going to be because I have Mbeumo, Wissa and Milenkovic all to come on Thursday night, which means our rank should definitely improve because most people only have one player left, if anything at all. So I'm not too concerned. I always expected this week to be a red arrow with the strategy that I was on. And I'm still going to be inside the top 10,000 at the very worst. In fact, I'm actually going to be inside the top 8,000 teams at the very worst. And that's if all my players suck on Thursday. In reality, I'm expecting them to return. So if they do, I'm probably still going to be inside the top 5,000, which is exactly what I had hoped for at the beginning of the week. And then obviously, I'm prepared for anything that happens with the Premier League announcements. We have to wait and see. Don't jump your gun on your early transfers. I'm back at home, which means the quality of the video will be much better because the brightness is back on my screen. It should look much better. We're back to normal play from this week through to the end of the season. I've got you covered. Live reaction streams are coming back this weekend as well, so make sure you join us for that. And without further ado, smash a like on the video. Subscribe if you haven't done so already. The aim is to try and get close to 2,000 by the end of the season, and I can't do that without your help. And let's jump straight into it. So, how is the team going at the moment? Well, that is the answer. And honestly, yeah, you can see it. I actually, on any other given week, if I hadn't taken the -8, and I'd be sitting on 59 points at the moment, with three players still to play, I'd be pretty damn happy. Like, completely. I would be very happy indeed. I think we'll be pretty good moving forward. And look, Trukaray paid off. He got 6 points. Obviously, it wasn't as good as other defenders that people got on free hit, and that was kind of annoying. But in reality, the idea behind Chelsea keeping a clean sheet in this game was pretty sound, and it turned out that that was actually the case. So I'm not too disheartened by that. Obviously, Verbruggen, what a fail pick that was. I obviously bought him for the bench boost in 32, where he got, I think, 2 points. And then I bought him for this week as well, thinking the fixtures were great, and he got one. Yeah. Dan Burn, though, 13 points. I said on the deadline stream, I was like, this man needs to make up for his own goal last week. And obviously, the own goal was on my bench, so I wasn't too worried. And he got a header. Can you believe he made up for it with a goal up the right end of the pitch? Well done, Mr. Dan Burn. That is fantastic. And Boehm obviously still to play. Wiss is still to play. Milenkovic still to play. So I've still got three players to come. I picked Mo Salah as captain, 16 points. The card said Salah over Isak. It got it right. 2 points, the difference there in the end. So not massive, but it was still something. Jarrod Bowen, one of the transfers I bought in with my -8. He definitely paid off of 9 points. I think he's actually, at the moment, correct me if I'm wrong, the highest scoring midfielder this game week. So I've done well with one of the transfers. Obviously, he's great for the rest of the season as well. He's got Spurs, who looked absolutely horrible in game week 35, so that's a very big positive as well. Kluivert, obviously that move did not pay off. Man United actually played a lot better than I thought they were going to play last night, and it was good being a Man United fan to watch that kind of performance, but it was annoying having Kluivert on my team. But it is, unfortunately, he got sacrificed as well when Valinson got sent off, but it's one of those things, you just got to roll with it. Jacob Murphy, 6 points. He was the pick of the Newcastle midfielders. He won the penalty and then went off. So at least it was better than nothing. Isak, obviously vice-captain, he got his one goal from the penalty spot. He actually underperformed his XGI compared to other players quite significantly this week. Obviously, I'm reliant on Mbeumo, Wissa and Milenkovic. And yeah, at the moment, it's just what it is. I'm, as I said, I always expected a red arrow, and that's what it's going to be. Unless, obviously, if Mbeumo and Wissa combine for 29 points like they did in game week 33, I'm actually going to get a green arrow probably. But yeah, it's just one of those things. I'm 32 points off my safety score at the moment. That would bring me within range. And then Milenkovic header, that would be nice as well. What are the odds of that? Two goals for Wissa, two assists for Mbeumo, a goal for Milenkovic. I might actually get a green arrow. Here's wishful thinking. That is FPL. It's all fun. It's all games. And you've got to take it in the right spirit. The early notes for game week 35. So look, honestly, the free hit was super powerful in game week 35. I'm not even going to sit there and deny that it was a brilliant strategy. With almost every popular asset returning. So I've seen many drafts with Cunha, Trippier, Aitnori, Sarr, and Sessegnon. And they all hauled. They all had double-figure hauls, which is just unheard of. And, I mean, like, a lot of it is quite jammy, really. I mean, like, Saar saves a penalty from Jamie Vardy, and it protects the 8 Nori clean sheet and the Saar clean sheet. If that goal, if Vardy had done what he normally does and scored, all of a sudden, my minus 8 and the free hit template, all of a sudden, I'm back in business with my 3 players still to come. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. Sessegnon, obviously, with that 92-second minute winner, who would have predicted that as well? I mean, like, some of these things are just, that's FPL in a nutshell, right? It's luck. Sometimes you just get lucky. And people on free hit 34, yes, it was a good week to free hit. But, like, some of this stuff is proper luck-based. And you can't account for that. And it's just one of those things. The one thing that the two things of these two players that I think is not luck-based, Trippier returning against Ipswich, who looked all at sea after they went down to 10 men again, that wasn't a fluke. I did expect Trippier to be a really good pick. I didn't expect Dan Byrne to be anywhere near as good as Trippier, but there was only 2 points in it. And if Dan Byrne hadn't got himself booked, I think Dan Byrne actually would have been on for the 3 bonus. But unfortunately, he got booked, so he only got 2. Cunha, I knew he was going to hurt my rank this week. I didn't expect him to get 15 points, so that is a little bit disappointing. But it is one of those things. Again, I took it on. I still think that the forwards I'm going to be going for between 35 and 38 are better than what Cunha is. 35 to 38. That's just my personal opinion. Maybe I'll get it wrong. But yeah, he was amazing in game week 34. There is no denying he's definitely the standout this week. Man City and Crystal Palace, congratulations. You have made it through to the FA Cup final. Commiserations to Nottingham Forest and Aston Villa. What do you need to know about this? We don't know. The Premier League are probably going to come out and announce when those fixtures in game week 37 are going to be moved to. They could be moved to the midweek of 36. They could be just rescheduled to later in 37. We are unsure. It's probably likely I stay in 37. If you ask me for a gut feel, that's my read. Spurs have requested a date change, though, for their fixture of Aston Villa. And this definitely would have gone into 36 if it had happened. Now, Aston Villa have come out and said that they want to reject it and stuff Spurs. And I don't blame them, because why would you want to do that when you've lost and you're probably reeling from that? But I do understand it. I feel like there is a bit of fairness to it. And I think Spurs are probably odds-on favourite to make that final. I think it's Bodo Glimt. Man United accounted for them pretty easily in the group stage, and I think Spurs will probably do the same. So I would imagine that is the fixture that potentially might end up doubling in 36. But if it only gets pulled back to Friday, I'll probably stay in 37. But if it moves to Thursday, maybe it goes into 36. So are there going to be any blanks and doubles? No one actually really knows at the moment. The odds of it have dramatically reduced. With Aston Villa obviously losing in the FA Cup, that would definitely almost have created a double game week 36. But them losing, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I mean, there could be a chance for the biggest double of the season, or there could just be no doubles. So just keep your eyes to the ground. Wait for that Premier League announcement. I'll cover it in a video when it gets released later this week. Not much between Isak and Salah captaincy. Cunha was the pick, though. I actually card flipped, and we'll talk about it in a second. And yeah, it was just a goat call from the card yet again. Spurs should be a dark red team. A dark green team. They are horrible. I would suggest that their campaign in the league is on the beach. Now, Man United, I thought, would do a Spurs on the weekend against Bournemouth, which is why I ended up buying Clivert, but they didn't. And Man United definitely didn't look like they're on the beach, but Spurs looked god-awful. Other than Solanke, I thought they were just absolutely rubbish against Liverpool yesterday. There was an easy opponent that Liverpool could have faced, I think. Now, which moves are good moves where people... when people were coming back into their teams, they had in game week 33. So double game week 33, if your team was set up for that, all of a sudden, Aston Villa aren't, well, they might still double. Man City potentially could still double. But the fixtures aren't overly fabulous. Like, there are better teams, better players. Which moves are good moves this week? Well, I would argue that there is no good move at the moment until we get the Premier League announcing what's going on with the fixtures between 36 and 37. Once that's happening, then you can start planning your moves, and I'll be waiting until after Europe as well, because obviously the Champions League, the UEFA Conference League, and the Europa League. Oh my God, why do I always say the UEFA? I don't understand. But either way, all those games, the first leg of the semifinals, are happening this week, midweek, so you don't want to be making any moves until that's out of the way as well. And you also want to assess the state of your team. Now, some people are going to come back to absolute disasters like Phil Foden and Saka and their teams, and you're going to be a step behind people like me that have probably moved their assets in 34 and taken a hit. I think a lot of people will actually be taking hits this week to fix parts of their team, or they're going to be relying on fluky, streaky kind of things against the fixtures. And lastly, will the Brentford boys, will they help me and revive my game week on Thursday night? And can Milinkovic get a header? I'm not sure, but it is possible. So I live in hope, and I know that my rank is only going to increase between now and the end of the season. With two chips left to play, and obviously three players left this game week, most other people have already hit out for the week. The game week 34 hero, though, for me, was one Dan Byrne. 13 massive points. If there was a player that I needed to step up, it was Dan Byrne. Yeah, I knew that everyone was going to be having Trippier, probably Livramento, and when Dan Byrne scored that goal, I was like, thank God, I'm not completely out of it. So he got two bonus points, he kept the clean sheet, he got one yellow card, unfortunately, but that one massive goal of the XGI of 0.42, it was a 0.4 XGI chance, I believe, and yeah, he was brilliant. Yeah, thank you very much, Dan Byrne. You have been a saviour. You've definitely helped me navigate what could have been an absolute disaster if you hadn't have returned, because obviously -8 with all the other popular assets on template succeeding, it could have been an absolute disaster class. So the template defenders, Aitnori, Trippier and Sessegnon. I actually can't believe how many people had these three defenders in their teams of their 3-4-3 lineups, and they ended up with an obscene amount of points. 37 points from the three of them combined. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So Aitnori obviously got 11 points. He got one assist. He had an XGI of 0.31. In fact, the XGI across all three of them is insane. It's like midfield numbers from all three of them this week. It's just ridiculous. So he got no goals, obviously, one assist, an XGI of 0.31, one clean sheet, obviously, there. He did keep the clean sheet thanks to Jose Sarr saving that penalty from Jamie Vardy. And he got two bonus points. So well done, Aitnori. And I always thought, on reflection, when I bought Nkukurea instead of Aitnori, if Aitnori hadn't trolled me so much earlier in the season, I would never have bought Kukurea. I would have gone with Aitnori. And that's probably cost me about 10 points now over the since game week 31 to 34 that I've owned Kukurea and Aitnori. That's probably cost me at least 10 points on the weeks that I actually would have played them. So that's annoying, but it is one of those things. Trippier, unbelievable pick, 15 points. Like, he might as well have scored a goal and kept a clean sheet, but he got two assists. He had an XGI of 0.51. Unbelievable stuff there. Again, he got the one clean sheet, and he cleaned up all three bonus points. Thanks in most part to Dan Byrne actually getting booked. If Dan Byrne hadn't got booked, I think that Trippier wouldn't have got the three bonus. I think it might have been Dan Byrne. It was pretty close there for a lot of it, but obviously that yellow card bumped Dan Byrne down, and that was the end of that. Sessegnon, well, this was the jammy one, right? I mean, like, Aitnori obviously relied on Jose Sarr to keep the clean sheet before he went off. Sessegnon, though, XGI of 0.55. He went from 3 points. No, yeah, 3 points. No, 2 points. What am I on about? 2 points to 11 from the 91st minute to the 92nd. Unbelievable swing there for anyone that took the punt on him on free hit. Great stuff. Well played. One goal, zero assists, obviously. And that one goal right on the 92nd minute not only won the game for Fulham and kept their hopes of European football alive, but it also meant he got three bonus points from none. It's just one of those stories that you just sit there and you just wish that you kind of owned that player. So well done to everyone that had all those three players on free hit. You've done amazingly. And if you had Jose Sarr as well to add on to that, you got 49 points from your four defensive players. That's almost a half century from four players. Unbelievable. Like, absolutely unbelievable. Well played to anyone that did that. The myth. It's back again, and I had to call it. On stream, I had a few people ask about Captain Cunha versus Captain Salah. And I flipped the card and it landed on Captain Cunha. Now, Alan, who will join me for the deadline stream, will know this. He actually had Salah as captain and he went in and changed it to Cunha based off the card's result. And he reaped 30 massive points from captaincy. I did say that if I was to bring Cunha in because of the fact that it would have been for Marmoush rather than moving Saka out, who was more of a problem for me this week compared to Marmoush, that I would have captained Cunha if I bought him in because so many other people were bringing him in. He was like an 84% ownership. The only reason why I would bring him in was to captain him. Ironically, if I had my time again, I would have definitely have moved Marmoush for Cunha and just captained him. That would definitely have been the play. If I'd done that, I probably actually wouldn't be losing rank at all this week. But it's one of those things. again, it's an unbelievably goat call from the card. This is FPL, though, in a nutshell, and I just wanted to point that out. It is extremely luck-based. Don't be too down on yourself if you just pick someone that just didn't work. Like, there's some people that like Captain Harvey Barnes this week and stuff like that. Sometimes these things happen. Sometimes it is literally a 50-50 call, and sometimes the 50-50 call goes your way, and sometimes, unfortunately, it horribly goes against you. The captaincy choice, then, in a nutshell. So, the most three popular captains this week, from what I can tell from the FPL app, was Salah, who obviously got 8 points. He finally got a goal, an open play goal. Probably should have had more in this game. I know his XGI was only 0.6 with goals and assists combined. But, I mean, Darwin Núñez absolutely cooked it late in the game. If that pass had actually been a half-decent pass right into Salah's path, he also would have been on 15 points. And then it would have been a complete, like, tie between Cunha and Salah. So it is one of those things. Sometimes, as I said, you can get lucky, and this is definitely one of those luck-based ones. Isak actually had the best XGI of all three of them by a country mile. Obviously, he did have the penalty, so that accounts to almost one. But he racked up 1.53 XGI across the game and only came away with a goal against an Ipswich team that played with 10 men. You could say that can, in comparison to the others, significant underperformance and just pure unlucky, really. Like, I just think that Isak was unlucky not to come away with more in that particular game. I thought that he was definitely going to, the way that that game was going. And then there's Cunha, who got one goal and two assists, three attacking returns of just 0.7 XGI. Unbelievable. And he just continues. He's continuously outperformed his XGI all season long. And again, he's done it here massively with a monster haul of 15 points. Again, congratulations to anyone that captained him. He was an unbelievably good choice this particular game week. Now, on to targets for this week. And I think the two most popular targets this week will be, one, Brian Mbeumo, regardless of how well Brentford go on Thursday night, and one, Jarrod Bowen, who's been fantastic. The only thing I'll say is that Brian Mbeumo, as you can see here, is a bonus points monster machine. He's racked up 28 points, whereas Jarrod Bowen, in comparison, has only racked up 14 bonus points this season, which is a significant difference. I still think you need him. The fixtures for these two players over the next 4 weeks are unbelievably good. They're incredibly good. I mean, Brian Mbeumo plays Man United in game week 35, who are going to be worried in the middle of that Europa League tie with Atletico Bilbao. And then Jarrod Bowen is playing Spurs, who are definitely not going to be focused because they will also be in the same position wanting to progress in Europe. So for me, these two are also fantastic captaincy options this week. I think that Brian Mbeumo probably is the best captaincy pick this week. I don't think Mo Salah against Chelsea is going to be overly flash. Isak against Brighton doesn't really feel overly good either. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about Marmoush captaincy this week, but, and this is where I want to get into it, and I'll talk about this a little bit later on in my little updated chip bit. Erling Haaland's back in training, so he could be back. And ironically, when we talk about my moves later on in this video, when we get into it, yeah, it's looking pretty good. But back to this comparison, Brian Mbeumo, 8.1 million, 210 points for the season now. He's got an XG of 0.33 per 90, an XA of 0.26 per 90. He scored 18 goals, which is like striker-like levels. Obviously, he's been helped by a lot of those penalties. He's got 7 assists to go with that. He's just a fantastic option. It doesn't matter which way you look at it. Jarrod Bowen's obviously been a bit injured this season, but again, he's 0.5 million cheaper, 7.6 million. Again, fantastic fixtures. 154 points for him for the season. His numbers are significantly less, though. So he's only got an XG of 0.26 per 90, an XA of 0.21 per 90. And obviously, he's only got 9 goals compared to Brian Mbeumo's 18. But he's actually got 3 more assists than Brian Mbeumo of 10 assists. So again, they are the two fantastic options that you need to be considering, I believe, this particular game week. And I'm very happy I already own them as of game week 34. And I'm hoping that Brian Mbeumo can continue his fine form on Thursday night against Forest, who are hopefully going to be on a bit of a low post that FA Cup semi-final loss. The game week 35 FDR. And look, it is getting interesting. 4 game weeks left for the season. The teams you should be targeting, though, literally for the rest of the season are Aston Villa, who have obviously a fairly nice run. Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, Tottenham at home, Manchester United away. Four pretty damn good fixtures to finish the season. Brentford, who have Manchester United at home, Ipswich away, Fulham at home, and Wolves away. Again, four amazing fixtures for Brentford there. West Ham, not quite as good, but still pretty good. Tottenham at home, Manchester United away, Nottingham Forest at home, and Ipswich away. Again, so some lovely fixtures there to target, especially for like the likes of Jared Bowen. Manchester City also have a nice run to the end of the season. Wolves at home, Southampton away, Bournemouth at home, and Fulham away. Very nice fixtures there. Nottingham Forest, ditto. Crystal Palace away, Leicester at home, West Ham United away, and then Chelsea at home. Probably a little bit difficult there to finish the season. And Everton have 3 out of 4 amazing fixtures. Ipswich at home this week, Fulham away, Southampton at home, and then Newcastle away. Lots to like there. There are other teams of sporadic fixtures in there and that potentially might double. Obviously, the teams that could potentially double in 36 are Aston Villa, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Man City, Spurs, and Wolves. But yeah, but obviously they were then blank for 37 as well. But we won't know about that until later on in this particular game week. So my updated chip strategy. So I played my first wild card in game week 12, second wild card played in game week 30, like so many other people. I did play my system manager in 24 to 26 and got 56 points, which was slightly better than people that played it in 31 to 33. Bench boost played in 32 for 6 points was definitely the low point of the season. And ironically, 33 and 34 haven't been overly good weeks for me either. But if you have these remaining chips, this is the best time to play them. So bench boost, you just want to pick a week that looks decent for your team. Obviously, if there is a double game week in 36, that is a week potentially where you might want to play it, especially if they all double. I'm not expecting that to happen, but essentially you just want your bench to be playing, and I wouldn't be leaving it at game week 38 because it's you very rarely ever get 15 players play on the last game week of the season. Triple captain, game week 36 has amazing fixtures, and that is definitely when I'll be playing it for this. Even if there's no doubles, it's still a great week. Like there's Brighton and Bournemouth versus Ipswich. There's potential of Haaland or Marmoush versus Southampton. Again, really good fixtures there. I really like them. Ideally, I'd like to see Haaland on the bench this week, which means he'd be ready for 36 to start. Then I'd probably just play it on him against Southampton, if I'm being brutally honest. If it becomes a double game week, it's even better, and you just pick a player from there and you'd roll with it. If the Spurs and Villa game is the only one that doubles, I'd 100% probably play it on Ollie Watkins. Rashford out injured with a hamstring, looks amazing there. Assistant manager, game week 35 to 37 or 36 to 38. Again, it doesn't really matter which one you play it on. I think it's probably better to just play it as soon as you can. Obviously, it does cover 3 weeks and you can't play another chip. So if you're stuck there with 2 chips and one of them is the assistant manager, you're going to be playing a chip every week for the last 4 weeks. So make sure you don't snooze on it. Otherwise, you'll miss out. And you can't chop and change. Wildcard, obviously, if you've got wildcard left, you play it this week. If you, I will have a video out on Wednesday on a wildcard draft for game week 35, so make sure you keep an eye on that. Hopefully by then we do have the Premier League announcement. If we don't, it'll be based off the fact that I don't think there's going to be any doubles or blanks, and I'll just be doing the wildcard draft based off that. So just keep that in mind. Hopefully the Premier League do announce something before Friday, hopefully prior to Wednesday and me making that video. And then free hit, obviously, potentially game week 36, 37, if there is a double or blank game week, could be really good. Otherwise, as my current plan is at the moment, I'm going to be playing on game week 38 on the last day punt, picking the fixtures that I think are going to be having the most goals and hoping for the best and hoping that pays off more than people just with a normal team like it did in 34 and just hoping that I can make those points up and finish the season with an absolute bang. The game currently for game week 35. This is the lineup, and this is probably how I'm likely to go in. I mean, the only consideration I've got at the moment is maybe Munoz starts instead of Milenkovic or Byrne. That is probably my most difficult decision at the moment. I think the rest of the team picks itself, and it looks really good on paper. Like Raya at home, he's going to start. There's no denying that, so I'm not too worried about that. Milenkovic versus Crystal Palace. I actually think that they're likely to shut Crystal Palace out just with the way that I think Nottingham Forest will be very motivated to finish in those European places. So for me, I think that Milenkovic probably starts there in front of Munoz for me. Gvardiol, again, he scored in the FA Cup, so hopefully he can continue that against Wolves at home. Dan Byrne against Brighton. Again, it is a bit of a toss-up between Byrne and Munoz here. Maybe I go with the more attacking Munoz by the deadline. I'm not sure. In the midfield, it's Bowen with that amazing fixture against Tottenham at home. Jacob Murphy away against Brighton. He just continues to tick over the points and it's very threatening, so I'm happy to, for him to keep playing. Mo Salah against Chelsea looks pretty good as well. I mean, there's a world where you could play Clivert instead of Murphy. I just think that I'm not sure. Like with Bournemouth, obviously, with Van Linsen out, suspended at the moment, it might be a better option just to play Murphy instead of Clivert. That's just my gut feel at the moment. Marmoush obviously is against Wolves, and Wisser against Manchester United at home looks amazing as well. And then Isak, I mean, Brighton have looked god awful. They concede goals, and I expect Isak to score on that one. And at the moment, I've got Brian and Bueno in that with that amazing fixture of Man United at home this week as my captain. I think that that's a really strong team for game week 35 compared to lots of teams that are going to be having like double Arsenal defense. I don't think Arsenal are going to keep a clean sheet this week. It's my gut feel on that one. Now, obviously, I did take the hits in game week 34 to set myself up for 35 to 37. And the team is looking pretty damn good for 35 to 37. The fixtures are going to be happening. Obviously, all my transfers will be targeted on players that will potentially double or blank. Now, I have an unbelievable amount of money in the bank. So I have £7.4 million in the bank. My team is still valued at £101.8 million or something like that. I have that money. I have the exact money to do Marmoush to Haaland. So if I'm being brutally honest, my move, if Haaland is fit this week, ideally I want to see him play some minutes. And if he plays some minutes, I can guarantee that I will own Haaland for the rest of the season. It'll be Marmoush that makes way for Haaland. I just think it's a bit of a no-brainer, especially if game week 36 becomes a double game week for Man City or whatever that happens there. They're obviously needing to finish in the top five for the Champions League next year, which means Haaland will be back. And if he's back and he's fit and he starts Southampton, he's 100% going to be in the team and most likely will be the triple captain in 36. If there's no blanks and Haaland's not back, it's likely to be a triple captain in Bournemouth against Ipswich away. Again, he's been a flat track bully all season, so I'm hoping that he can continue that. That brings us to the end of the game week preview and my early thoughts and transfer plans. Look, there was so much to unpack in this, and this was an amazing hit for the free hit. There's no denying that at all. It'll be interesting to see if my strategy pays off over the last 4 weeks of the season. At the moment, I am sitting there hoping that I've got it right, because at the moment it feels like I've got it wrong. But again, I've got three players left to play this game week. I'm not going to know how that goes until the end, until I make my video on Thursday during the day, because obviously I am on Australian time here. Again, if you made all the way through to the end of the video, let me know what your team is looking like for this week. Is it looking like a disaster because you're going back to your team after your free hit? Or is it looking okay? Let me know your early moves in the comments. Smash a like as well before you leave. And if you haven't already done so, please feel free to subscribe. That's been your game week preview, and I've been the D Unit.